Well, I figure I better tell you guys about what I did last weekend. I know you heard, but just to give you a report on what I experienced, it was pretty much similar to last year. It was as far as parades go, it's a pretty lousy parade, the Gay Pride Parade in Chicago. Instead of throwing candy, they throw condoms, and I took video, but it's totally you can't play it in church. It's rated R. That is surprising that they allow that to go on in public streets in Chicago. But, I thought about while I was standing there, I thought there are things that are worth being proud of. If you do a good job at something, if you make an accomplishment, if you get good grades, things like that, that you can be proud of. If you have a good marriage that lasts for decades, that's the kind of thing you ought to be having parades for. But sin and the detestable things that were going on at the parade last Sunday are not things to be proud of, and it's sad that we marched those through the streets. I thought about, that it, to me, it would be it's the exact same thing as having an adultery parade or, a child molestation parade or a parade of, thieves. Have a thief parade or a liar parade or, basically anything where people are proud of hating God with their lives and the activities that they have, and it's just kind of sad that the people of Chicago allow that to go on. And for people who call themselves gay, they're anything but. At least the people that we interacted with on that day, they were angry and lustful and even in some cases violent. Fortunately, we've had police protection. The guy who's in charge of the group basically said that, they may one day get to heaven and start telling their stories about the things that they put up with to go and preach to the crowds that were antagonistic and how, people would yell at them and maybe throw things at them and hit them and stuff like that. And then Paul and the other apostles would walk up and they'd say, yeah, you sure had it rough with all the police protection and the freedom of speech and all the rights that you had. Yeah, you guys really had it rough. So I think about that and I feel sorry for God. Because I never felt unsafe. There were lots of angry people around. There were people that threw stuff at us and people that sprayed water and things like that. But I never felt, I was never fearful for my life because there were police right there and police with guns. So if anything really did unfold, I figured we would be okay. But I think with the small amount of animosity that we faced on that day, the amount of animosity that God faces every single day, just the grief he must feel for having built this world and created us to have a relationship with him. And then here's a parade of people who are absolutely against him. And people all around the world who don't love God, who hate God with their behavior. And I feel sorry for him and the grief and the pain that he must suffer when people are boastful and prideful of that kind of behavior. Well, there was a handful of people who had good communication. It was a handful of people who they had legitimate questions and had good conversations. And there wasn't any conversions that day, but I really hope that some of them were. Some of them were homosexual, some of them weren't. We'd had scripture to point out this is why this is wrong and this is why your life is against God. And so I hope that they'll take that home and really think about it. When I think about praying about people, those are the people that I pray for. Because the people who are just totally against it, they're not going to change. Yeah. But there were some people there that I hope that they will think about it and go and repent and change their lives. So pray for those people. Yeah. And so I was thankful for those people, but yeah, it's a rough day. It's not a fun kind of experience, so I'm glad to be back. I missed you guys. It's good to be here. So that's my report. Now to get on with my story for today, I want to tell you about my new grill. I got a barbecue grill. Well, I guess I should back up. We had a garage sale the other two weekends ago. Is that right? Yeah. And so we got all our stuff out, and there's other garage sales in our neighborhood. There's one right across the street where the girls went over and they found a bunch of baby clothes. I guess they're, fancy brand name baby clothes that were all a quarter a piece. So they thought that was a really good deal. And then expensive purses, name brand Coach purses and baby bags. Jenna got a bag for, I think she ended up paying $3 for. that was a, you know, retails for over $100. Why anyone would pay $100 for a diaper bag, I do not know. But they were excited about those deals. And then they took a walk around the corner down the street, and there was a family having a garage sale, and they had a couple barbecue grills out, one sort of a smaller one, and then one of those big fancy stainless steel models. And they said, these haven't been working for, you know, we haven't used them for a year. I don't think they work. So if you just want to haul them away, you can have it. So I took the nice big one. I said, I'll check it out. Took it home and took it all apart and scrubbed it down with a wire brush and some soap and got it all cleaned up and put back together. And then we went down to the Menards and got a new tank of gas and got that installed, and it just fired right up. I mean, it was beautiful. It was, you know, I saw the pretty blue flame coming out of that. And I, you know, that's all I had to do was clean it. And so, and I looked it up online. I think it was like a $250 barbecue grill that I got for free. So that was, and you know, when I turned it on and I saw that flame fire up, the first thing I thought was, God, you are so good to me. Because I'd wanted a grill like that for a long time and knew I'd probably never, you know, at least not for a long time, be able to buy one like that. But for just those simple blessings that God throws your way. You know, everybody has tough times. We all deal with our rough days, but I like to look on the bright side. When I got that grill fired up, it was just such a blessing. And I thought about how many blessings God has poured out on my life and on our life as a family. Besides the obvious spiritual blessings, you know, we get to pray every day. We have God's word to read all the time. We get the privilege of telling other people about God's good news. Those are really great blessings. But then and our little baby girl, I mean, she was an awesome blessing. But then he fills in all the little cracks with all the little blessings, like a new barbecue grill that I wouldn't have been able to buy. We have so many baby toys I don't know if we've ever even bought a single toy, you know, that wasn't from a garage sale. We've had so many toys passed down from cousins and family and garage sale things. And John and Sharon John found it up in Janesville, a swing set. Nice, fancy wooden swing set with the climbing tower and the slide and everything that he found for a fantastic deal. We went to Menards and found the stain outside is like $25-$30 for a gallon. We found one in the clearance that was only $5, so we stained it all up, and it looks nice and new. And our house was a fantastic. We paid half of what it was probably retailing for, you know, 5 years ago. So that was a blessing, and, you know, we could count our blessings for a long, long time and go through how many things God has just really poured out on us and filled in with. So now I'm not one of those people that, you know, subscribes to that idea of, you know, name it and claim it. You'll have whatever you want. You can't just say, I want a yacht and God's going to give everybody who wants a yacht to have a free yacht. But if you really want something, and if you work hard for it, you save up for it, you take responsibility for yourself and your family, and you do whatever you need to provide for, and then if God allows you to prosper, you thank him and you keep working hard. But then I also know that when you commit yourself to a life for God, he takes good care of you and he blesses you. And you might not always have everything you want, but God takes good care of you. Because there are plenty of poor Christians around the world. There are plenty of Christians who are persecuted, people who are dying for their faith, martyred Christians. And if they could speak their wishes and have all their wants, I'm sure they'd just speak it and they'd be out of all that trouble. But God knows that persecution develops our character and then brings us closer to him. So we all do the best that we can. And that idea, that simple principle, that we work hard and we do what we can to take care of ourselves is basically the principle our nation was founded on. That, you know, we talk about liberty and freedom, and the founding fathers, all they wanted was a government that would leave them alone. So that we can, you know, take care of ourselves and prosper ourselves and take care of our families, and we don't want a government that meddles in our lives and taxes us to death and is just overbearing. We don't want a government that takes our property because we want rights to our own property. And a government that controls all our decisions and doesn't let us decide for ourselves. So they declared their independence. They told the king, they said, we are free of you. You no longer will control our lives. We'll rule our own lives. We can govern ourselves. They said, we don't need external government. We can govern our own affairs. And that idea applies to Christianity, because the more you govern yourself, the less outside government you need. If you can control yourself, You don't need somebody else controlling you. And if you have a society that controls themselves, then you really don't need, you know, we don't need police unless there's people who are breaking the law. And so hence the, you know, the government that the founding fathers formed was to be of, for, and by the people. So the people were supposed to make their own decisions, take care of themselves, and govern their own affairs. And the people were expected to be self-reliant, to be able to take care of themselves, to be self-controlled, to be self-governing, because, and the reason they did that is because that's the way God's word told them to live. That's the way God's word said, this is how you live. You be self-controlled, you take care of yourself, you be a provider for your family, and you govern yourself, so you're not controlled by the law. The reason, I don't know if you ever thought about this, but the reasons that Christians are free from the law, the reason that we live under grace is because the Christian doesn't need the law to live a right life. To live righteously, we don't need the law to tell us what to do because we think this is the right thing to do. I'm going to do it because it's good. We do what is right without, with or without external laws. And Jesus Christ died to set us free from slavery to sin and death. And he filled us with his Spirit. And so we have this amazing, you know, so that we could live by the power of Jesus Christ, so that we could live with God in us. And when that happens, you don't have to worry about the laws because the fruit of the Spirit living inside you, the fruit of a Spirit-filled life is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And there's no law against any of that. That's what Scripture tells us, and that's the reality. That if you're living a Spirit-filled life and you're living and that's the fruit of your life, you don't need somebody ruling over you, worrying about breaking some sort of law. So in a perfect world, if everything were the way it was supposed to be, we wouldn't need any laws. We wouldn't need any police. We wouldn't need any judges or courthouses. In a perfect world, everybody would live right. And that's the way God meant it. That's the way God designed things from the beginning. That's the way God designed us. If you could, and the Constitution, our whole country was built on that idea. If you could break down the Constitution into its most basic, simple purpose, and really just boil it down to what it was really meant to be, it was about a couple of things. One is having a national defense to protect us from invasion, so that we could have an army and a navy and whatever we needed to defend our nation, and then also to make sure that the various states traded fairly and openly. And that's really, if you boil the Constitution down, that's all that we needed it for. And the founders simply wanted an environment that was conducive to free and fair trade so that everybody could make a living for themselves and everybody, you know, that and everybody could take care of themselves so that people could build business and people could prosper and that everybody could do well. And if everybody were living for God today, if everybody were doing what God told us to do, we wouldn't even need those rules because people would simply naturally be open and be honest and be fair and nobody would attack each other and everybody would just deal well with their neighbors. And for the most part, that's how the country got started out. And you know, in general, obviously there were bad apples in every barrel, but for the most part, the majority of people in this country they respected God, if not honored him. There was a respect for the Lord and our nation, you know, we came up with our slogans and our, you know, that in God we trust and that we're one nation under God and those kinds of things. And because in general, most people were living for God and most people were at least respecting God, God blessed our nation. And the same way that he blessed our nation, he offers the exact same deal for everybody. You know, nations as a whole and individuals, God offers the same deal. Live for me and I will bless you and you'll have freedom and liberty and live against me and suffer the consequences. And he offers that same basic deal for everybody. If you remember King David, he did a lot. He was well known as a man of God. He did some things against God and actually because he was so violent, he wasn't allowed to build the temple for God. Remember, they had the tabernacle, and David wanted to build a temple, and God said, you won't build a temple, but I will allow one of your descendants to build the temple. So then King Solomon, his son, was allowed to build the temple, and he made this massive, beautiful, rich, gold-covered temple, you know, the most beautiful building that had probably ever been built. And when it was all done, they had a big opening ceremony, a big celebration to finally be able to use the temple. And they put sacrifices and offerings on the altar to burn. And King Solomon said a prayer. I think it's in 2 Chronicles in chapter 6. He says this long prayer to basically dedicate the temple. And in chapter 7 in 2 Chronicles, it starts off. It says, when Solomon had finished praying, fire flashed down from heaven and burnt up the burnt offerings and sacrifices, and the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. The priests couldn't even enter the temple because of the glorious presence of the Lord filled it. And when all the people of Israel saw the fire coming down and the glorious presence of the Lord filling the temple, they all fell face down on the ground and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, He is good, He is faithful, His love endures forever. So it was a pretty amazing opening ceremony for the temple. I mean, that I don't know what the glory of the Lord looks like filling that temple, but it was the whole thing was filled enough that everybody around, because the people weren't even allowed to go inside the building part. They were allowed to come in the walls of the outer courtyard and things like that. But somehow they saw the glory of God filling this temple, and everybody saw it. And they saw the fire of God coming down and burning up their offerings on the altar. And they all got on their faces and said, you know, God is good. God is wonderful. His faithful love endures forever. We have a great God. And they celebrated that. And it was a big, I mean, they made a huge deal of it. It was the numbers in the next verse, in verse 4, says that they offered 22,000 cattle and 120,000 sheep and goats, along with other offerings. I mean, it was so much that they had to actually dedicate the courtyard outside, because there wasn't the altar couldn't contain. The altar, probably if they burnt all that fire, probably would have melted the altar. So they had so much that they sacrificed. And it wasn't all just in one day. It actually lasted a week is what this celebration lasted. So the bronze altar that they built, it just couldn't even hold all the offerings of animals and grain and burnt offerings that they had. So they had to dedicate the area outside of there. And they actually burned offerings outside in the courtyard area. And so that went on for a week. It says in verse 8, for the next 7 days, Solomon and all Israel celebrated. It was the festival of shelters, which comes from them living in tents for the whole time they were journeying out of Egypt across the desert. So they had the festival of shelters, and they gathered from all over, and they had this huge celebration. Then if you skip down to verse 11, we're still in chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles, it says, so Solomon finished the temple of the Lord as well as the royal palace, and he completed everything he had planned to do in the construction of the temple and the palace. And then one night the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, I have heard your prayer. So remember, he started praying in chapter 6. He says, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this temple as the place for making sacrifices. At times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command the grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. And we know why he'll do that kind of thing, because he warns the people over and over and over, turn away from me and you'll start finding curses. These things will happen. So that's why he will, you know, at times he might do this, and they know why he might do this, because they turn their backs on him. But in verse 14, we've heard this verse many times, he says, then, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. And it says in verse 15, my eyes will be open and my ears will be attentive. This is God speaking. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. For I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored forever. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart. As for you, if you faithfully follow me as David your father did, obeying all my commands and decrees and regulations, then I will establish the throne of your dynasty. For I made this covenant with your father David when I said one of your descendants will always rule over Israel. But if your descendants abandon me and disobey the decrees and commands I have given you, and if you serve and worship other gods, then I will uproot the people from this land that I have given them. I will reject this temple that I have made holy and to honor my name. I will make it an object of mockery and ridicule among the nations. And though this temple is impressive now, all who pass by it will be appalled. They will ask, why did the Lord do such terrible things to this land and to this temple? And the answer will be, because his people abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors who brought them out of Egypt, and they worshipped other gods instead and bowed down to them. That is why he has brought all these disasters upon them. So I think about, you know, obviously that was about the temple and the Israelites, but today we're the temple. As Christians, we are the temple of the Lord, and he indwells us. And we have the same deal that the Israelites had. God says, you follow me, you live for me, you do what I tell you to do, I will bless you, I will keep you safe, I will take care of you, I will watch over you, and I will love you. But if you turn your back on me, if you abandon me and walk away, I'll do the same thing that I did to the physical temple, to you. And so, you know, I think about recently our nation, and as recently, I mean in the last decades or 50 years or so, that, you know, we've been quickly turning our back on God. And it seems to be getting faster and faster. We've banned Bibles and prayers from school. We've allowed sin to be something that people literally parade in the streets now. It's not a pretty picture when you think about how things used to be from the founding of our nation to today. I mean, unfortunately, there are still some people who stand for what's right, who stand for God, and my guess is it'll probably be a while. I don't know how long, but it'll probably be a while before we reach that tipping point where God says, that's all I can stand. I'm not going to stand anymore. You know, like he did for Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham started talking to God saying, well, how many, if there's 10 Christians, or 10 people who honor you, will you not destroy the town? And, you know, he dickered them down in number. And eventually they got Lot and his family out and ended up destroying the town. And I think it'll probably be a little while before the scales tip and God just lets go of his wrath. But, you know, it's interesting. The sad truth is when we abandon God, he lets us go. If we abandon God, he doesn't force us to follow him. He doesn't force us to love him. He doesn't force us to obey him. But he allows us to go and to suffer those consequences. And it's, you know, we had our most bloody war in all of American history was fought over physical slavery, over the chattel slavery of owning the black people. And as a nation, we're not too concerned about spiritual slavery today. You know, we were really concerned about physical slavery and about men and women not being free and not having their own rights and not being able to be involved in the government and that kind of thing. And people gave their lives. It was the most bloody war that America's ever fought to free people from slavery. But now, you know, think about spiritual slavery and nobody's really that concerned about it. But that's what Jesus went to the cross for. That's why Jesus died, is so we could be free from sin and death. And Jesus fought a war for our emancipation, for our freedom and independence. And it was the bravest sacrifice that has ever been made, Jesus made for us. And that's why we ought to be honoring him this Independence Day. That's why every time you think about independence, you ought to think about independence in Jesus. And I like a good 4th of July parade. I love the fireworks. I like cooking out and all that. But if anybody deserves a parade, it's Jesus Christ. If anybody deserves our honor and our glory, it's Jesus. And if we are proud of anything, it ought to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is master of everything. And everything that he was, you know, not just that God is who he is, that we ought to honor him for that, but everything he's done for us. I mean, I think about everything he's done for me personally. And I'd love to honor him. I love to give him glory. And everybody who's ever been saved by God and has ever been blessed by God in any way ought to remember Jesus Christ for that. In Isaiah 61, our scripture for today, it says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that the captives will be released and the prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, They will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them though they have been deserted for many generations. Foreigners will be your servants. They will feed your flocks and plow your fields and tend your vineyards. You will be called priests of the Lord, ministers of your God. You will feed on the treasures of the nations and boast in their riches. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully reward my people for their suffering and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be recognized and honored among the nations. Everyone will realize that they are a people that the Lord has blessed. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom in his wedding suit, or a bride with her jewels. The sovereign Lord will show his justice to the nations of the world. Everyone will praise him. His righteousness will be like a garden in early spring with plants springing up everywhere. Jesus came for our freedom, for our benefit, for our prosperity, for goodness. He set us free for freedom's sake, our true freedom. You know, to be free from slavery and sin to death, to be free from the law, to be free to live righteous lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants to bless his people. He so much wants to bless. He wants to bless everybody. He wishes everybody would turn to him in repentance so he could just bless the whole world. God loves to bless his people. And if this piece of scripture isn't a confirmation of that, I don't know what is. I mean, did you listen to it? I will give a double portion of honor. I'll give a double portion of prosperity. I will pour so many blessings out on you. I love to give good gifts to my children. So be my people. Live for me and let the whole world see how God shows off by blessing his children. Let everybody in the world look at you and say, God is great because of how he blesses his people. And obviously, this is talking about spiritual freedom, because regardless of our political situation, we can still have spiritual freedom in God. Regardless of what kind of government we live under, there are Christians living for God in Muslim countries today who have to watch out because their families are commanded to kill them by Islam. So they have to run from their own families, but they still have spiritual freedom. So, you know, they might not have political freedom, but they have spiritual freedom. And the kind of blessings and freedom that God wants for us is more than that. It's not just spiritual freedom. It is spiritual freedom, but it's not just that. That, you know, God's desires for us include, you know, having good moral lives, but also having political freedom and having a country that's free. He helped this country find our independence. We fought against the hugest empire that ever was and won. This little tiny set bunch of colonies won a great war. And it's because of God's providence. And God wants us to have financial freedom. You know, we went through that whole Financial Peace University, and all the concepts that we taught or learned were based on God's economics and how we're supposed to handle money God's way. And he wants our social lives to be free. He wants us to have enriching and filled lives that have good friends and close families and people that treat each other nicely. Everything in our lives, God wants us to know what freedom is like, what independence is like, what blessings come from that kind of life. And it's because God created us to be free that the founding fathers declared our independence and fought the Revolutionary War and gave their lives and gave their fortunes so that people could have freedom and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. It's because God designed us to be free. It's because all men are endowed by God with a right to life and liberty that so many people died in the Civil War to abolish slavery. It's because of God's principles that this country has freedom and liberty. And it's because God wants us to live in his freedom that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Because God wants us to not just have political freedom and financial freedom and whatever. He wants us to have the most important freedom of all, and that's freedom in Jesus. Freedom spiritually to be free of the sin and the death that used to be our master, that we used to be slaves to. That we can now be free of that and live for good and live forever. Some ignorant people will talk about, you know, but there's slavery in the Bible, so God likes slavery. But those people obviously didn't read the part where the Israelites are commanded, Every seventh year, you release all your servants. You get, and not only do you release them, but you load them up with gifts. You give them grain and wine and whatever it is that you produce, and you fill them their sacks and you send them out prosperous. And don't begrudge them that, because you remember that you used to be slaves in Egypt and I freed you. So you be generous and let people have grace and because God wants everybody to be free. God wants everybody to understand what freedom and liberty are about. In Luke chapter 4, this is after Jesus had gone out to the desert and was tempted, and he retaliated with Scripture, and eventually Satan left him, and Jesus returned to Galilee. It says in Luke 4 at verse 14, "Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power, and reports quickly spread about him throughout the whole region. And it says he taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. And when he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the Scriptures. And the scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, was handed to him. And he unrolled the scroll and he found the place where this was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, and that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come.' And he rolled up the scroll, and he handed it back to the attendant, and he sat down, and everybody looked at him. It says all the eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently, and then he began to speak to them. He said, 'The scripture that you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day.'" He said, "I am the fulfillment of this scripture. I have come, and the Spirit of the Lord is on me, and I have come to set the captives free. I have come to bring you freedom." Jesus quoted the scripture, and he said, "I am the one who came to give you that double prosperity. I am the one that came to enrich your lives. I am the one that came so that your life may be full. So be my people. Come and follow me. Come and obey me. Make disciples for me. Grow my kingdom. Live by a righteous life, by my power, and have a good life, and see how I display my greatness by blessing your life." And in 2 Timothy, in chapter 2, we're told, verse 22, it says, "Run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. Be able to teach and be patient with difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him who does whatever he wants." So I think about that, and I think there's a lot of people living in captivity today. I don't know, maybe some of you are still living in captivity. Maybe you feel you're a slave to your flesh. Are you controlled by your sinful desires? Are you living in freedom today? Would you like to be free of sin and death? That's the question we need to share with the world, and maybe you need to share with yourself. And if you feel that, if you understand what I'm talking about, if you are still controlled by your desires, by your fleshly desires, you can turn to the great emancipator who fought for our freedom and died for our freedom. And he was the greatest freedom fighter that ever lived and won our freedom on the cross. And you can find freedom in Jesus Christ by turning to him and loving him and putting your faith in him and obeying him, and find true freedom in life so that you can live and know what it's like to have double prosperity and double honor and all the gifts that God loves to pour out on his children. Jesus said in John 8, at verse 31, he said to the people who believed in him, he says, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And if you don't know what I'm talking about today, if you haven't experienced, you need to. If you haven't lived this life, if you don't know what it's like to feel the freedom of the Lord in his truth, in living by his way of life, it's a good life, let me tell you. It's a blessed life. It's a wonderful life. It doesn't matter what difficulties you face, what troubled times you go through, because everybody faces that. You still feel the joy of the Lord and the blessing of the Lord. It is so good. You know what? I was talking about the blessings that God has given us. If we had nothing, if we didn't have a house to live in or a car to drive or shoes on our feet, if we didn't have any food to eat and we starved to death for the Lord, it would still be a blessing because we would open our eyes in heaven and say, we starved to death for the Lord, and it's so good to be here now. It is good to live for God regardless of your circumstances. But you know what? God doesn't let you starve to death. God takes care of his people. God watches over his people. Yeah, there are people who are persecuted. Yeah, there are people who are martyred. But you know what? They find blessings beyond measure after the troubles that they face. Live for God with all that you are and all that you have inside out. And he will not only take care of you, he will bless you richly. And this goes beyond possessions. This goes beyond political freedom. And those things are nice, but spiritual freedom is much greater. We might not have everything we ask for. You know, at the same time as at Menards, and I got that gas can for the grill, they had a sweepstakes where you win a Chevy Camaro, you know, a big muscle car. And so we signed up to win the Chevy Camaro. And I seriously doubt I'm going to win it because I don't need it. I mean, Jenna said, yeah, because a child seat will fit in that. And so, you know, but I know that God will provide what we need. I mean, I might not get a Chevy Camaro for free, but I'll bet God will make it possible for me to buy a minivan someday when I need one. And you know, that after our financial peace class that we just took, I'll bet you we'll be able to pay for cash for it someday instead of taking out a loan because we've been learning these things and God has been blessing us. And it will, you know, I'm sure it's going to take lots of work and we've got extra jobs that we do to earn money and it's going to take saving pennies and not buying some little things that we want to do it. But even then, it'll still be a blessing. And regardless of what we drive, regardless if we have anything to drive, we'll still be blessed by God and it'll still be good to live for him. And we'll still continue to choose to live for God because I wouldn't trade this life for anything. And you can feel that blessing too. Anybody can have those blessings of God. And in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says that we read before, it says, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and restore their land. If you're feeling the famine right now, if you're feeling not good, if you know you're in spiritual captivity and slavery, God offers the same deal that he offered for the temple, the old Jewish temple, he offers for our temple today. And he says, if you honor me, you return to me, you seek my face, you repent, you humble yourselves, I will bless you, I will forgive you, and I will take care of you. So live for God, find spiritual freedom, and don't forget all the other blessings that God fill, you know, that God has richly provided for every single one of us today. We have freedom of speech. We live in a country where I can stand up here and preach God's word. And we can all worship God freely. And we don't have to worry about the government crashing in on us and throwing us in jail right now because of that. We have, you know, the freedom to better ourselves through hard work. If we get a job, we get to keep the money, some of it. We get to, you know, if we buy a house or we buy a car, it's our property. If we pay for it, it's ours, and nobody's allowed to take it from us. And so we have those rights. And you know, people have lots of complaints about the government, and there are plenty of things that the government does that I don't like, that they have stepped on some of our freedoms. But we still, compared to most of the world, have many, many freedoms. We still live in a good country, and we still have the power of our votes to be able to get the country back on the path to liberty for everybody. So there are so many things better than a free barbecue grill. I'm glad for that. It made me happy. But it reminded me of so many other things that God has blessed my life with and how glad I am that God has set me free to live free for him. So I'm no longer a slave to sin like I used to be. I'm no longer a slave to death like I used to be. I'm no longer a slave to my flesh like I used to be. It is so good to live free in Jesus Christ, and I will recommend it to anybody. So tomorrow, as you celebrate the freedoms of our country and the independence that we have as an American, also celebrate the freedom that God has provided, the freedom that he's given to every single person who turns to him for your soul. That, you know, and that's a freedom that will last forever and ever and ever and ever, and never take it for granted. You've heard the saying that freedom isn't free. It's the same thing for spiritual freedom. Jesus gave so much so that we could have freedom. So remember that and honor God, and don't forget the sacrifice that he made for our true independence and our true freedom in Him. In Galatians 5:1, the last scripture I have, says, "So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Keep living for God, and He'll keep blessing you and taking good care of you. Live righteously in freedom and show the world how glorious God is, because He blesses those who live for Him, and how they can find the same freedom and the same independence that we have by turning their lives over to God." Sound good? Let's pray. God, we thank You so much for our freedom as a nation, our freedom to be able to control our government when we choose to, our freedom to be able to speak our whatever we want to in public freely, our freedom to be able to worship You and not have to hide, our freedom to live the kind of lives that we want to live, Lord. We thank You for that. And more than that, Lord, we thank You for our spiritual freedom, the freedom that You gave us from death, from slavery to sin that we used to be under. And I thank You so much that You care enough about us, that You didn't let us rot in that slavery and rot in that death, but You stepped down and You gave so much to save us. We thank You for that, Jesus. Help us to continue honoring You for the rest of our lives and to enjoy the freedom that we have in You forever and ever and ever. In Your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.